bless us as we seek to hear your word tonight. May your word do its work. And may you, Lord, help us, please, to not only hear it, but do it, please. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, Dave opened our new Sunday night series, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and continuing our study on some of the Old Testament characters. So we haven't moved away from the Old Testament. We're trying to get people to really see that the Old Testament is really important. There's some wonderful, wonderful things in there. And our focus at this time is the prophet Elijah, King Ahab, and his ugly wife, Queen Jezebel. Now, we emphasize that she was not ugly in herself. Physically, I think she was a very attractive woman, but her ways were ugly. And in his introduction, Dave showed what it is that actually makes Elijah good, makes Ahab bad, and makes Jezebel ugly. And these same characteristics are still clearly evident in people today. The goodness of listening to and obeying God. The badness of idolatry or the worship of false gods or worshipping the true God falsely while rejecting the only true God, or being unfaithful to God. So there's, you've got to understand the badness here. It's idolatry, which is worshipping false gods, but idolatry is also worshipping the true God falsely while rejecting the only true God or being unfaithful to God. That's idolatry. And the ugliness of Jezebel's ways, how she was seductive, self-centered, and manipulative, caring for no one really but herself. So look away for a moment from these Old Testament characters to the present day. And it's true. Is it not the case that we can still see the good, the bad, and the ugly, even in our society? Those who listen to and trust and obey God, those who reject him and his ways, and those who are utterly selfish and self-seeking. And so in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, we heard Elijah tell King Ahab, "There shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word." Now this is a man, and the Bible is very, very clear. He is a man, a human being, just like us. That's what God's word says. He is just like you and me. He's not anything special. He's just a person like us, and yet he can walk up to the king and say to the king, "There's going to be no dew or no rain all these years, except at my word." Now, obviously, we know that God had sent him. God had sent Elijah to warn Ahab what was about to happen. And Elijah obeyed God and delivered the message. This ordinary, if you could call it this ordinary good citizen went to the king and basically told him, "Because of your badness, your disobedience and rejection of God's ways, there's going to be no more rain until Elijah says so." Imagine being given that authority from God. "There'll be no more dew or rain in Whitefield until I say so." That would be cold summer in Northern Ireland. But imagine being given that authority. Would you like that sort of authority and power? Would you, in all honesty, would you go to the kings, in other words, would you go to the highest people in our society and tell them what God had said if God gave you that authority? Well, you see, after Jesus died and was raised to life again, he spoke to his disciples, including his disciples today, because his holy sacrament is down through the generations to this day. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he said this: "All authority," not some, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go you, therefore, into all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, what's happening here is, as to go and take his word and tell bad Ahab what was going to happen. So Jesus has authorized or commissioned us, his disciples, in this day and age, with all of the authority that he has been given. He has said, with all of my authority, go you into all the world and tell people what is going to happen, what I am going to do. So if you said, well, if I had that authority, I would go to the kings and tell them there's going to be no rain and no dew. Jesus says, oh, would you really? Well, I just authorized you to go into all the world and tell people what's going to happen. So I can't exactly see crowds rushing for the doors to get out there. But we have that authority. We are commissioned. And not only are we commissioned, Elijah had to go on his talk in that sense. Jesus says, I'm with you when you go to do it. So let's read together 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 to 10. I'm going to fly through this. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Having obeyed God and informed Ahab what was going to happen, God then tells Elijah to go and hide up north. He says go east, but it's up north where he was actually going to the brook Cherith. Go and hide at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And as the drought began to take effect, because there was going to be no rain and no dew, as the drought began to take effect, Ahab sent people everywhere looking for Elijah, but no one could find him. In that sense, the prophet was missing. And at the brook Cherith, Elijah's hiding place, the place that God had commanded him to go to, God had already commanded birds of the air to regularly feed Elijah. And he could drink from the brook. And I was laughing to myself during the week, because I'm one of those sad people who actually throw bread out for the birds. I feed the birds. I thought to myself, you know, I better feed these birds, because who knows, there might be an Elijah somewhere at a brook Cherith that needs that bit of my pan loaf that I'm throwing. So God had commanded the birds to regularly feed Elijah, and he could drink from the brook. Now, we have no idea how long he hid there, except that he stayed there until the water dried up. Now God again spoke, telling Elijah to go to Sidon, to a place called Zarephath, and stay. God also told him again that he had already commanded a widow. Isn't it kind? The widow didn't know anything about it. The birds of the air didn't hear God saying, I want you in 6 months' time to gather up a load of your stuff here, and I want you to feed a guy called Elijah the brook Cherith morning and night. It just happens because God has it ordained. Yeah. And so in this case, the widow God has already ordained to look after Elijah. That's an interesting situation. You see, this was a case of God sending good Elijah to a place where bad Ahab would never think of looking for him. Because Ahab had sent people out everywhere looking for him. Bad Elijah wanted him, he was going to kill him. Because he wanted the rain. It was just destroying the land. The famine was destroying the land, the drought. And so this was a case of God sending good Elijah to a place where bad Ahab would never think of looking for him. Where does he send him? To Sidon. When that's located in modern day Lebanon. But guess what? Who ruled Sidon? It was ruled over by a man called Ithbal. That was Ahab's father-in-law, ugly Jezebel's dad. There's no way that he's going to think that Elijah's hiding over there. Because my father-in-law would know, somebody would know, and we'd get rid of it. And yet, God sometimes takes us to places we would never, ever think is the right place. But if it's the place that God has taken to, it's the safest place on the planet. So, as far as Ahab was concerned, Elijah was a missing man. So what happens next? Well, in the story, this is what happens, and you can read it yourself when you go home in 1 Kings chapter 17. In Zarephath, this wee village, this wee town, there's a widow who is out gathering wood. Did you hear this? This wee woman is out gathering wood for a fire to make a last meal for her and her very young son. And then it would seem that she actually anticipated that she and her son would starve to death. Imagine being in that situation, that she was out gathering up the last wee bits of wood that she could to be able to make a wee bit of bread and have something with that, some water, whatever else, with a bit of oil that you have left. And then she and her son were going to share it between them, and then they were just going to basically starve to death. And while she was doing this, Elijah says to her, "You wouldn't get us some water." And that woman turned to go to get him water. And as she turned, he said to her, "You wouldn't bring us a wee morsel of bread." And the woman told Elijah her situation, that she only had enough flour and oil to make this last meal for her and her son. And Elijah said, asked her to go and make some bread. And then he declared what God said, because I'm telling you, love, see that oil and that flour, it's not going to run out until the rain falls on the land. And you know what? Poor Gretchen did it. Isn't that wonderful? She believed God's word. She believed God's word. Well, I don't know if you know the saying, bad things come in threes. I'm not superstitious or anything like that, but you know, people say always, oh, bad things come in threes and all this here. Well, here we have it, because we have good Elijah having to hide after confronting bad Ahab. He then meets this wee widow who's gathering sticks for her last meal before she and her young son starve to death, and he has just prophesied to the woman that she would have enough oil and flour to sustain her and her son until the famine was over, and then her son takes sick and dies. What is going to happen next? Obviously the wee woman is distraught. She's a widow, she's nothing to turn to. She's distraught, and she cries to Elijah, who takes the child and lays him on his bed, stretches himself over him, and the boy revives and comes back to life. Thank the Lord, that child revived, and Elijah gave him back to his mother. Now please listen to this. Elijah is just a person like us. It's so important. And yet look at what he has been used for. He is just a person like us. So what can we learn from this very quickly? Well, there's probably loads of wonderful lessons, and if we were doing this in the Bible study, we'd probably have thousands of them. But I just want to touch on two things that we can learn from what we've heard tonight. Firstly, obedience to God is always good, even when it brings hardship and struggle. Please understand that. Obedience to God is always good, even when it brings hardship and struggle. You see, during his stay at Brook Cherith, God provided for Elijah, sending ravens with bread to feed him morning and night, and he had plenty of water to drink. But even in times of famine, God will sustain those who obey him and walk in his ways. In fact, the psalmist says it beautifully in Psalm 33. I'll just read it out to you. Look at what he says. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." When the water dried up, and it didn't just happen, he would have saw the brook getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And when the water dried up, God sent Elijah to another place of refuge where he had organized already. to look after him. You see, God knows where we're at. He knows also where we need to be. As Keith said last Sunday, we know who we are and we know what we shall become. We know that we are children of God and we know that we shall become sinless and we shall be made perfect on the day that we go to be with the Lord. But it's, as Keith said, the bit in the middle that we need to work on, and that requires obedience. And as I've said, obedience to God is always good, even when it brings hardship and struggle. Obedience to God is much better than anything else that we can offer him. It's always good to obey God, even if it means we face our own hardships and struggles. So the second point that we can learn from this tonight is this. God always knows what we need and exactly when we need it. Right? That's the second. God always knows what we need and exactly when we need it. You see, this was not only true for Elijah, but it was also true for the widow and for her son. Elijah would have seen the brook slowly drying up, and he may have questioned, well, what's going to happen now? You know, and well, maybe I need to be going somewhere else because there's not much water left here and I'm not at thirst. But he didn't. He waited to hear from God before moving. You see, that can be a very difficult thing to do, to wait on God, especially when we think we know a way out. But God's ways and timing are perfect. Sometimes God will take us to a place where it seems like very little is happening, but it's a place where he still meets our needs. Maybe sparsely, but we will have enough water and we will have enough meat in that sense to sustain us. It can be a place where we would never expect ourselves to be or for anyone else to find us there. But nonetheless, it is the place where God has us. And if it is the place where God has us, then he will keep us and he will provide for us there. See, Elijah may indeed have been the missing man as far as Ahab was concerned. But from God's perspective, Elijah was exactly where God wanted him to be. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Those who listen to, trust, and obey God. Those who reject him and his ways and do their own thing. Those who are utterly selfish and self-seeking. In all honesty tonight, which of these three would you prefer to be? You see, Jesus spoke of the faith of the widow of Zarephath, saying that it was to her that God sent Elijah, and not to any of the disobedient, unbelieving people in Israel at the time, but to a woman far away in Zarephath. God sent him. And now Jesus authorizes or commissions us. Just like God commissioned Elijah to go to Ahab, so Jesus commissions us to go out and tell others what he has done and what he is going to do. Will we listen, trust him, and obey? Will we reject him and his ways and do our own things? Say, that's not for me, Jesus. Will we be utterly selfish and self-seeking and say, I'm not giving my life to Jesus to do Jesus' bidding? I've got my own life to live. Well, let me tell you, your answer tonight to that question, what will we do? Will we listen, trust, and obey? Will we reject him and his ways and do our own thing? Will we be utterly selfish and self-seeking? Your answer may determine whether you are among the good, the bad, or the ugly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you tonight that you're a God who can take us to places, Lord God, that would astound us. Grace us, Lord God, might even frighten us at times when we think, how are we going to survive? How are we going to make it? We can be at a place, Lord God, where very little is happening, a place where we would never even imagine ourselves to be, or find other people, Lord God, thinking we would be there. But Lord, if it's the place that you've led us to, then we know that you will keep us. You will provide for us. Because you're never going to lead us anywhere where you cannot keep us. So Lord, please help us to trust you. Please help us to have faith in you. Help us to listen, to trust, and to obey. Because Lord, your ways are the very best ways. And sometimes, Lord God, our obedience to you may mean hardship and struggle. But Lord, it's worth it. If it's walking in your will. Because you always honor those who honor you. So tonight, Lord, we ask you, please, let us be among those who are good, those who listen, trust, and obey you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll stand and sing our last song.